Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello and welcome to today's episode on Wednesday the 16th of July. Coming up, we'll have reaction from a Kent MP after a report was released into the crimes of David Fuller. And Kent Online's Blue Badge campaign will be debated in Parliament today. We'll bring you all the details a little later on. But first, taking a look at our top story today. The boss of a Herne Bay restaurant has been in court after failing to take down an eating area for outdoor diners that was built without planning permission. Lucy has been taking a look at this story. So Lucy, what is this case all about?
Well, it's a dispute that's been ongoing for 3 years between Kent County Council and Mehmet Dari, who runs Ala Turca in Central Parade. It's claimed the 45-year-old only had planning approval to put up 3 retractable awnings to the front of the restaurant, but he instead constructed a permanent shelter complete with glazing metal supports and laminate flooring. It cost £20,000 and was built in 2019 on land where KCC has access rights. They say the outdoor seating area is blocking the footpath and obstructing vital underground utilities. A retrospective planning application was rejected in 2022, prompting an enforcement notice demanding the structure is dismantled.
So what happened during the latest court hearing?
Well, magistrates heard how no attempt has been made to comply with that previous order. Mehmet Dari, who runs a number of other businesses in the area, pleaded guilty to 2 offences relating to the structure. Lawyers representing council bosses say they still expect work to be carried out to remove the dining area. Sentencing has been postponed until October, so financial details can be provided for his company.
And have we had any response from the business owner himself?
He declined to comment as he left the court hearing, but he has previously said if he's forced to take down the glazing, he'll lose almost half of his restaurant. Dari says he only ever wanted to improve the town and is criticising the backlash after spending time and money on the building.
Thanks, Lucy.
Kent Online News.
A Whitstable woman is among 5 people arrested as part of counter-terrorism investigations. It's after an alleged ram raid at a defence technology firm in Bristol, which reportedly involved members of Palestine Action. Officers carried out a search of the property in Bayview Road yesterday morning. The 20-year-old suspect has been charged. A former Thanet playgroup manager who took more than £8,500 from charity funds has avoided prison. Kerry Norris was running Moncton under-fives in Ramsgate when she started diverting money into her own account. The 50-year-old from Drift Road in Aylsham must do unpaid work, attend rehab and repay the stolen money. Police have been searching for the driver of a vehicle that reversed into a patrol car in Canterbury. The white Volkswagen also crashed into several other vehicles in Whitstable Road at around 1:30 yesterday afternoon before the driver fled on foot. Patrols have been out searching the local area. Now, a final report's been published by an inquiry looking into the crimes of David Fuller. He's serving a whole life sentence for murdering 2 women and abusing at least 100 bodies at hospital mortuaries in West Kent. A review's found similar offences could happen again if action isn't taken. Sir Jonathan Michael is chair of the inquiry.
This is the first time that the security and dignity of people after death has been reviewed so comprehensively. Inadequate management, governance and processes helped create the environment in which David Fuller was able to offend for so long. These weaknesses are not confined to Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells NHS Trust. I found examples in other hospital and non-hospital settings across the country. The security and dignity of people after death do not feature in the governance arrangements of many organisations which are caring for the deceased. I have therefore come to the conclusion that the current arrangements for the regulation and oversight of the care of people after death are partial, ineffective, and in significant areas completely absent. I have asked myself whether there could be a recurrence of the appalling crimes committed by David Fuller. I have concluded that yes, it is entirely possible that such offences could be repeated, particularly in those sectors that lack any form of statutory regulation. The recommendations I am making today are designed to protect the security and dignity of people after death. Most of these recommendations are to specific sectors. Some have wider relevance and are addressed to the government and to existing regulators. They all need to be implemented to ensure that deceased people are properly protected. My overarching recommendation to the government is that there must be statutory regulation in place to protect the security and dignity of people after death, whichever setting or institution they are in. My recommendations are necessary, and as a society, we owe it to everybody to ensure that they and their loved ones are cared for securely and with dignity after their death. I would like to thank everyone who has contributed to the work of this inquiry, especially the families of Fuller's victims, who bravely shared their experiences with us in phase one. Those experiences have continued to be a driving force behind this inquiry throughout phase two. It is essential that the recommendations I make today and in my interim report on the funeral sector are implemented without delay.
Tunbridge Wells MP Mike Martin has backed the calls for statutory regulation.
As with the previous stages, I think we need to look very seriously at the recommendations, and the government needs to take hold of those recommendations and implement them.
And that overarching recommendation to see a regulator put in place, was you aware before this all started that there wasn't a regulator for the funeral industry?
Well, I obviously, as the MP for the constituency where this horrible crime was committed that started this report, I have been, I'm a lot more aware of the circumstances surrounding it. But the funereal sector, so that's, care homes, hospitals, funerals, all those people who look after dead bodies, is a bit of a patchwork quilt. It's a bit of a cottage industry, and it doesn't have rigorous standards across it. And what the report very clearly points out, that we could create the danger of this happening again, because there are no enforced standards, there's no regulation, and that's the main recommendation of the report. And the government needs to, as I say, get hold of that and start implementing it.
Would you be in favour of such a regulator?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the clearest lines in the report to me was where Sir Jonathan Michael said, leaving things as they are, this patchwork quilt, and obviously many funeral homes are marvellous, but there is a bit of a patchwork quilt, varying qualities, no standards, means that this might happen again. And we can't allow that to happen again. We have to not only identify the lessons of the problem, but also to learn those lessons and implement the recommendations.
And as a community, I know this hit Tunbridge Wells and the surrounding areas quite hard when all of this came out. Do you think the area can move on from this with this report and its recommendations if it goes to see that cases like this don't happen again?
Yeah, I do. I think it's part of a process. And of course, as the constituency MP, I do receive emails about this, and families are upset and concerned. But we've had the first stage of the report, which was recommendations specifically for Pembury Hospital and that hospital trust. And they've been accepted and implemented in full by the hospital trust. So I think we're happy that the hospital in our community is absolutely up to scratch. And these later recommendations are about the national picture. And I think that really, on that journey of closure for local families, and it's not for me to speak for them, but my sense is that as we move to those national recommendations and implementing them, specifically regulation and standards across the sector, that helps people gain closure, because it's about being safe in the knowledge that this isn't going to happen again.
Kent Online News.
A Sheppey man who fired a BB gun near protests over plans to turn a residential home into an asylum seeker facility has been spared jail. Paul Smith fired three times after threatening security guards at the Ocean Heights residential home in Minster-on-Sea last April. The 71-year-old from Southsea Avenue has been given a suspended sentence. He must do rehab and pay £800. The owners of the facility later pulled out of their deal with KCC and continued to provide accommodation for residents. It's been revealed that victims of courier fraud in Kent lost a total of more than £500,000 last year. Scammers use the technique by posing as police officers or bank staff to convince people to hand over money or expensive items as part of a fake investigation. Police say 63 residents were impacted in the county in the 12 months to April. Two people have been rescued by lifeboat crews after getting swept out to sea from the Isle of Sheppey. RNLI teams were called to Laysdown during windy weather on Monday and brought two men to safety. They also also recovered a pink flamingo beach inflatable which had drifted a mile away from shore.
Kent Online News.
Bosses at Thames Water have been giving evidence to MPs about the future of the company. Figures reveal annual losses of 1.65... Figures reveal annual losses of £1.65 billion and a further rise in debts. The supplier, which covers areas around Dartford and Sevenoaks, is fighting for a rescue deal to avoid nationalisation. It's claimed it could take 10 years to turn things around. Chair of the firm, Sir Adrian Montague, says it's a complicated process.
I think there are multiple interests. And when you get into one of these restructurings, I think that's what happens, because the creditors are sort of in transit. You know, they know that when it comes to the restructuring plan, there are going to be huge write-offs. I mean, I think that they have quoted a figure of 10 billion or so. And that's an enormous loss for institutions that represent savers. So we mustn't forget that all of this money is actually savers' money. It's a desperate situation for the savers. And yet, they're also going to be the people who emerge as the future owners of the company.
Thames Water CEO Chris Weston has also been facing questions. He says creditors are doing a good job.
They started work quite a long time ago. They've supported the company for the last year or so. They've been providing financing to the company, which has allowed us to carry on investing to meet our legal, environmental and regulatory obligations. They have pulled together a comprehensive plan, as Sir Adrian has said, and they have shown... they have demonstrated their support for the company and their understanding for the company and put forward a detailed proposal both to the company and to Ofwat. So I'm entirely comfortable with the operational plan that I am seeing from them. It makes an awful lot of sense, and it addresses what needs to be addressed in Thames to turn the company around.
He insists huge steps are being taken to improve issues around pollution. A fire which broke out at a recycling centre in Rochester is thought to have been started by a discarded battery. Six engines were called to the Viridor site on the Medway City estate last Friday morning. The blaze took hours to extinguish. There have been no reports of injury, but it's unclear at this stage just how much damage has been done. A bike shed in Chatham that cost £1 million has been boarded up after being targeted by vandals. The cycle hub opened at the railway station in 2022, but the front door has been bolted up for the last 3 months. It was a joint project between Network Rail Southeastern and Medway Council. Repairs are said to be underway. There are plans to turn a terraced home near Maidstone Town Centre into a house of multiple occupation. An application's been put in to convert a property on Postley Road near the junction with Shields Crescent. It would have six bedrooms, all with en suites, but no parking.
Kent Online News.
Council bosses are set to scrap plans to force owners to keep dogs on leads at playing fields in Folkestone. A public consultation was launched over proposals for the stadium in Cheriton. Almost 90% of submissions were against the idea. We asked people out walking on the field what they thought when it was first announced.
Not everyone has dogs that are out of control. I agree that dogs that aren't under control should be kept on a lead, but dogs that people actually do take the time to train shouldn't have to be on a lead.
Everybody knows each other's dogs. You know, we've all made friends over the years. So it would be a real problem if we couldn't walk out, if we had to put our dogs on a lead over in this field as well.
A vote on the new dog control public space protection order will take place tonight. The owners of a Kent drainage firm are being prosecuted for an alleged breach of a planning enforcement notice. Six HGVs have been found on the site of First for Drains headquarters at Walnut Hill Nursery near Gravesend. The use of the nursery was changed from agricultural to mixed last year, meaning the lorries had to leave. The company has been contacted for a comment. The cause behind a rainbow-coloured sheen spotted on a Kent waterway has been revealed. There had been fears the oily-looking film on the Royal Military Canal in Hythe was due to pollution. The Environment Agency says it's a naturally occurring algae brought on by warmer temperatures. You can see pictures in the story on our website. Part of the M20 will be closed tonight, so Operation Brock can be put in place ahead of the summer holidays. The motorway will be closed between Ashford and Maidstone to set up the contraflow. The system is designed to keep traffic flowing even if there's a problem at the Port of Dover or Eurotunnel. Now, a campaign for reform to the Blue Badge system led by Kent Online is due to be debated in Parliament today. The campaign is asking local councillors to be more flexible with rules and is also calling for the government to make it law that people can get a badge temporarily. It already has the support of all of Kent's 18 MPs. Medway Council Leader Vince Maple is also on board.
Well, I was really pleased to receive the cross-party letter from Helen Grant, and I know it's a campaign that Kent Online are supporting as well. Look, I think everyone recognises the value of a blue badge, but also there are some medical conditions which don't quite necessarily perfectly fit the current scheme. So really pleased to be working with my officers. We've suggested that we have a cross-party meeting. I've suggested KCC are part of that as well. I hope they take the opportunity to come on board, and let's look at what the art of the achievable is as we move forward.
This is something that could be changed.
Absolutely, we're looking at it carefully. That we know there are some specific things in place, sadly, when we've got end-of-life care, but for lots of people, thankfully, when they've got those sorts of conditions, we don't move into end-of-life care, but they still have some struggles, particularly around things like GP and medical appointments. So let's see what we can do collectively to make those individuals' outcomes even better.
Tris Osborne is the member for Chatham and Aylesford.
This is about equity for people who have temporary conditions, might have just come out with a broken leg or might be having ongoing cancer treatment. It's allowing them to have the flexibility to have a blue badge for a time-limited purpose. The government at the moment has said it's only for people with long-term conditions, so a cross-party effort to try and change that.
Is it wrong at the moment?
No, well, the policy works for those people who have long-term conditions, but we don't think it's working for those that have time-limited conditions, so those people who might come out with a broken leg or might have caring responsibilities. So we want to add some of that flexibility. It does work in areas like London with the white badge scheme, so we want to see that extended across Kent.
And you've got every MP, I believe, now in Kent on the campaign. Got Medway Council now. I don't think we've heard from Kent County Council yet. Before haven't said anything yet, are they going to back this campaign or not? Is that disappointing?
Well, so every MP cross-party in Kent is supporting this, obviously working with Helen Grant, the two co-sponsors. We're leading that charge with our colleagues. You are right, Lyndon Kim-Karen has said that she's not in the detail at the moment and has passed it on to her portfolio to look at. We're hopeful that working with Medway, we can come to some form of agreement that covers both areas. I know the leadership here are very keen for that. So the ball now is very much in their court, but of course their cabinet appears to be a bit unstable at the moment. Lots of change there. So we need them to focus on this and get that meeting organised.
Martin White has been sharing his struggle to get a blue badge with Gabriel Morris from KMTV.
You're trying to get a blue badge. Tell us, just explain a little bit about why you're wanting to get that blue badge, why you needed it.
I've got leukemia. I've had skin cancer. I've got heart problems. And I've got a tumour on my pituitary gland, which has caused my eye to close. If I take the glasses off, I've got double vision. And so obviously I can't see to do a lot of things. And the blue badge would help me going to the hospital. At one time I was at the hospital three times a week. So you can imagine the money that costs for parking. I was getting a mobility scooter through the Masonic Charity Foundation. They sent a chap round to fill out the forms. And as soon as he walked in the door, he said, "You need a stairlift as well." I've got a stairlift. I've got a mobility scooter now. And I was talking to my caseworker at MCF, and I told her that I'd been rejected, and you could almost hear her rubbing her hands, saying, "Can I appeal it?" And she did, and within an hour or so of her appeal going in, I got a phone call, and I answered some questions. I was told it may be another 2 weeks before they decided whether I was deserving of a blue badge. Anyway, 10 minutes later, I got an email saying I've got a blue badge.
When you were initially rejected, how did you feel?
Gutted. You know, let down, really. You know, you pay your taxes all your life and you get kicked in the teeth, sort of thing. And nobody from KCC had contacted me until this very late day. You know, I mean, it was 6 months after I'd applied, before I got any response. And they said they didn't think that I would be disabled in 3 years' time, was what their excuse was. But, well, you can see me today, and that's 2 years ago. So it's not working out very well. There's something very wrong with the system.
This afternoon's debate in Westminster Hall will give MPs the chance to raise local issues and receive a response from a government minister. Plans have been revealed for a private medical facility in the car park of Bluewater Shopping Centre. Grove Radiology want to install 2 mobile units to provide MRI and ultrasound scans on a temporary contract for 5 years. They propose the facility would be open 6 days a week from 8 a.m. until 6 p.m. Council bosses have until the end of August to make a decision. Macari's Ice Cream Parlour has won a bid to take over a shop space in Herne Bay Bandstand. Council bosses say there was plenty of interest in the seafront site following a £43,000 restoration. Bosses at Macari say they'll have live entertainment on the stage throughout the summer. A giant paddling pool has opened in Kent just in time for the summer holidays. The new attraction at Quex Adventure Park in Birchington is called Pirate Cove Splash Zone. They're also planning dance parties, a foam party and treasure hunts for families during the summer.
Kent Online News.
Nearly 50 parks and open spaces in Kent have been given a Green Flag Award. Moat Park in Maidstone, Brockhill Country Park near Hythe and Bluewater Shopping Centre are among those recognised by Keep Britain Tidy. You can see this year's full list at Kent Online. A pub at the heart of a Kent village is set to reopen after shutting down earlier this year. The Powell Arms in Birchington has been taken over by new landlords after previous owners copped backlash for their no-cash policy. The new bosses are promising pub grub, reasonable prices, and they will be accepting cash. 5 Kent restaurants have been named among the best in the UK. The Good Food Guide have released their annual list. 15 Square Metres in Broadstairs and John Dorian Sandgate are among the top 100, along with Jojo's in Whitstable, Mori Mori in Margate and the Goods Shed in Canterbury. And a Kent Animal Park is asking for our help to name 4 new meerkat pups. They're the latest addition to the mob at Kent Life in Sandling near Maidstone. You can see their picture and find out how to submit your name suggestions at Kent Online.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Gillingham have lost to Championship side Southampton in 2 matches played behind closed doors. The 60-minute games yesterday were part of the Gills pre-season training. They were beaten 1-0 and 3-1. Next up is a friendly against Luton Town at Priestfield on Saturday. And bosses at Folkestone Invicta have confirmed work to install their new 3G pitch won't be finished for the new season. The Isthmian League club confirmed plans to install the artificial surface for the 2025-26 campaign last year, but progress has been slow. It means they'll temporarily ground share at Margate's Hartsdown Park, meaning supporters face a 50-mile round trip. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.